Hey, it's Len and Jim. We're back for a special bonus episode. Consider this your Christmas Kwanzaa present. As you guys know, earlier this week, Bob Iger let loose a couple of tidbits about the Star Wars attractions currently under development by Disney. I think a couple of things that Bob said caught me by surprise. Let's bring in Jim Hill to talk about what exactly Bob said and the ramifications of it for Disney theme parks. Merry Christmas, Jim.
Merry Christmas to you too, Glenn.
So Iger said, what was this, Tuesday?
Yep. I believe it was a producers conference with Variety.
Variety, is it a magazine? It's a newspaper for the trade press, right? For the Hollywood trade press, right?
To be specific, it was during a Q&A session at Variety's Dealmaker Breakfast, and he was being interviewed by Claudia Eller.
And the thing that he said, and I think, and it's funny because I originally when I heard what he said, which was that the Star Wars attractions are going to be based on the new films, not the old films, that caught me by surprise. But then I think you'd actually said this for a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, just remember that the initial scuttlebutt was that Disney was actually going to begin construction of the Star Wars expansion in January of 2014. And in fact, cast members had been warned about this, and then suddenly it got put on hold. And, you know, Iger himself talks about how, you know, he just thought, this is the exact phrase he said. I said, I don't say I just saw the movie, and there's, you know, we're talking the movie Star Wars, the Force Awakens, right. And there's nothing in that movie in this attraction. So we waited to see what this film would have in it. So, you know, and you got to remember, they didn't even begin the on-location photography in Dubai till like May. And, you know, they've only just wrapped last month on this thing. So WDI, you know, was well into development and had to put the brakes on.
Yeah, because originally we heard it was going to be a pod racer thing, right? Everyone was kicking around ideas. Yep. And so Iger, this is the kind of decision that you want management to make, whether it's good or bad, right? The fact that they made this decision is good. They could have just gone along with popular sentiment and say, okay, we're going to do an X-Wing or a TIE Fighter ride because that's what everybody knows from the movies made 40 years ago. But to make this decision that says the rides are going to be based only on the new films is really interesting.
Well, now to be clear here, the older films, their world and their characters are in the parks already.
Yeah.
But you know, it's what they're, you know, again, what Iger says specifically is I slowed it all down so it could come forward with what will have to be a blend of the past, the present, and maybe the future. And the interesting thing is when he says the future, we're not just talking The Force Awakens. He makes reference to now that we have a sense of what's in Star Wars 8 and what some of the standalone films will be, that's also being folded into what Imagineering is up to.
And I understood that that was the subtext of his comments. Like when he said that, I understood what he meant. But so here's my question. Does this mean that the Star Wars Land development at the studios is going to be an Avatar-length 5 or 6 year project?
Oh, boy. well, look. All right. You know, it's kind of interesting that you bring this up because just in the last week or so, a development plan for the Matterhorn for Epcot, the development packet, has popped up online. I think it was actually Tom Corliss that put it out there. And they include, you know, as part of this packet, this is the thing they'd send out to potential sponsors to try to get somebody to sign off on it. And they mentioned that Disney's design process from starting development to, you know, people actually be able to ride something on an attraction, you know, is 3 years. All right. And
there is
really,
no way on God's green earth it's 3 years.
Yeah. Well,
like,
I mean, seriously, think about
21 or something like that, or what?
Well, all right. Realistically, think about it. All right. If come January, you know, after the Osborne lights are done and all that, we start to see construction fences go up at for example, let's just focus on Disney Hollywood Studios rather than what's going on at Disneyland, because that's an infinitely more complex thing they're going to try to do out there.
Right.
You've got demo, you've got site prep, and that coupled with the fact that this is, again, a working theme park. I mean, hell, you've already got your Star Wars fans, they're already coming to the park this year for Star Wars weekends.
That's right,
May 5th through June 14th. Yeah. Right. So, you've got to have, I mean, it's complicated to do this sort of stuff in a park that people are still going to.
Right. But they've closed a bunch of rides, right? They've closed Backlot Tour. There are rumors that Light Splitter Action will close. The Captain Jack Sparrow has closed. American Idol has closed. They're removing the hat. I mean, it looks like they've got sort of the back central and back part of the park isolated and ready for development. That's not a coincidence, is it?
No, not at all. But again, remember, we're talking two separate projects. We're talking the Pixar Place expansion, which will march out in the direction of the old tram tour. That sort of thing, where Star Wars will start pretty much in front of Hollywood in Dine and then march all the way back to where Star Tours The Adventure Continues right now. And again, the new plan, and it is kind of startling, is that American Idol's going down too, that it's going to be included as part of all this.
Well, it should.
By the way,
that's why they got rid of the hat too. The sight lines would screw it up. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that mean Indiana Jones goes away?
Well, no. Indiana Jones. We've talked about this before. Indiana Jones was supposed to go away because, when we were talking about the pod race or iteration, that was supposed to be slotted over there. But Disney opened a second channel to talk with Paramount. Remember that Lucasfilm and Paramount and Steven Spielberg.
I remember this. Yeah. Yeah.
Co-owned Indiana Jones, and it took a much longer negotiation to close the deal there for the acquisition rights. But again, Disney had this history with Paramount because, remember, Paramount to buy out the rights for the first Avengers movie and Iron Man 3, that sort of thing. So there was a way that this could be done. Back to what they're doing at Disney World at Disney's Hollywood Studios. That's people just have to sort of embrace the notion that we're not probably going to see anything start to go vertical on this till maybe the fall of 2015.
Oh, that's sooner than I would think. Okay.
Well, again, if the fences go up, and remember, this is a problematic build. First thing, you got to pull the hat down, so you can't pluck off, you can't start both of those things at the same time. You can't be pulling down Echo Lake and Gertie the Dinosaur and all that at the same time. You have to allow for guest flow. So they want the hat down and gone in time for Star Wars weekends. But at the same time, they now have to figure out, well, where are we staging, you think about it. How many of the events and that sort of thing were handled on that stage?
Right.
So this is chess. That the hat comes down, you get past Star Wars weekend, fences start to go up, once the hat is fully and completely down and you've rebranded the Great Movie Ride around the new Turner Classic Movie deal that was announced a week, 10 days ago. Then you begin demo of Gertie, Echo Lake, that chunk of territory. You will eventually see the fences bump out to the point where they begin gutting the old Superstar Television American Idol building. Likewise, Sounds Dangerous.
Yeah.
And I hesitate to share this info because it comes from a friend who literally just walked through the model shop at WDI. this, you know, yeah, you got to have to remember the other thing that Iger didn't say at this Variety thing is that they didn't just wait to see what JJ wanted in his movie and all that. They were also waiting to see Diagon Alley.
Of course.
And how big that was and what they had to do. And so Disney had to mount its response. And Len, they're not kidding. You know,
that's good.
My friend who went through the WAF model shop spoke specifically about two things that just stuck up out of the model.
Is one of them an interactive lightsaber?
No, one is actually a pretty good sized Death Star. You know, the big round building looming up out of the ground.
Really?
The other was sort of a supersized Ewok village. Coupled with a palace where supposedly you're going to get to visit with, you know, this is sort of where they're going to do the meet and greets for, like, Leia and Han and Luke. And that's the other thing, you know, that there's right now a lot of discussion about what era Luke are people going to want to meet with. Because remember,
it's like the classic Elvis versus Fat Elvis thing.
There you go. I mean, you know, just because, you know, there's a lot of info leaking out now about what in Force Awakens, where, you know, for example, Luke has been in isolation for roughly 30 years because of, you know, he's the one of the last of the Jedi Knights. And the concern is that, you know, if he aligns with the wrong people, things will go bad.
Right.
So he's very much in the Ben Kenobi mode. I mean, it's just, you know, big beard and cloak and that sort of thing.
Really?
But do you want the young hopeful, you know, Luke, or do you want the old grizzled Ben Kenobi Luke?
Well, if you do the old grizzled Luke, you can't do Ben Kenobi. I mention it as an example of the kind of thing they need to think about, right?
No, that's it exactly. In fact, that's really been kind of the pushback from Imagineering it's strange because think about it. You've got Star Tours, The Adventures Continues, which is, it's set deliberately between the prequels and, you know, the original trilogy. But there's already been discussion that they want to add new films to the rotation. They want to do stuff that reflects, events that are going to happen in The Force Awakens, mm-hmm. coupled with the films beyond that. So, this is really kind of a fluid situation. I mean, they're having meetings about, do we bring in the characters for Star Wars Rebels? Because one of the more popular characters, I believe her name was Kashi, from Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Star Wars Weekend. She became a very big deal.
Right, yeah. Maybe she's all over the photos. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. So it's just, I mean, this is, it, I think that's the other thing that people are just going to have to understand going into this, that yes, the steel, the actual buildings, they're making decisions about that. But as to the character mix and things like, you know, the new film to be dropped into Star Tours, The Adventure Continues, these are still very fluid situations.
Oh, yeah.
These are still, you know, decisions being made. But again, 2015 is a construction year. 2015 is site prep, demo, that sort of thing. 2016 is your big construction year, which means come 2017, mm-hmm. Which will be supposedly the year we'll see the
second
Bounty
film.
Hunter film.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's when you'll see phase one of this, and. I wish it could be faster, but let's be honest here, Len. It's only been 3.5 years since Bob Iger even first broached the idea of purchasing Lucasfilm. It's only been 25 and a half months since they closed the deal. And in that time, you know, here we've got Star Wars Rebels, you know, began running in October on Disney XD. And we've wrapped photography just last month of, you know, Force Awakens. So yeah. things they've been moving really at flank speed on this in regard to Star Wars. And in fact, that's one of the funnier things to come out of this interview is, you know, Iger actually talking with J.J. Abrams about, look, this is a $4.5 billion movie. You know, just like, yeah. You know, no pressure.
No pressure. You know, anything. You're launching. Single most expensive thing ever done in the Hollywood film industry. But, you know, no pressure.
Yeah, more to the point that this is what's going to relaunch a $4 billion, you know, the money, the $4 billion that Disney spent on Lucasfilm. This is what's going to relaunch the franchise.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, and we're a year, you know, actually a year and a week out from, you know, that doesn't actually open in theaters till December 18th, 2015.
Oh, so you're a week.
So, all right, let's get to the obvious question. When are they going to start revealing concepts? When are we going to start seeing art? When are we going to start hearing about rides and that sort of thing?
Probably 3 weeks before the stuff starts opening.
Well, no. Okay, I'm going to lay down three sets of dates here, and folks need to be aware that, you know, Disney these days – breadcrumbs, you know, that you'll get some information at one time and some information another time. But all right, end of January, Disneyland, Disney's going to reveal its plans for Disneyland's 60th anniversary. This is when we'll be hearing about the entertainment that's planned for the park, which is very cool, by the way.
Yes. I've already shared this with you. We're not going to talk about it. Okay.
That's right. So we can't talk about this yet. But again, so, and it's quite likely as part of that we'll get our first inkling of what the Star Wars theme park plans are. Jumping ahead, there's the Star Wars Celebration, which is going to be held at the Anaheim Convention Center, April 16th through the 19th. It's quite likely at that point we'll get a sort of a deeper dive about what's going on. And remember, this isn't just Walt Disney World, Disney's Hollywood Studios. You've also got the Disneyland plan, mm-hmm. which is honestly kind of shocking. If the current rumors pan out, they're actually going to pull down Mickey's Toontown and put it back there.
Really?
Yeah.
A Star Wars land and, in the Magic Kingdom instead of Toontown. It's the right size. Well, it kind of makes sense, but that's mildly surprising. But it's Toontown. And,
it is.
Oh, to draw people to that back into the park. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Talk.
Yeah. The other thing that's you know, there's kind of a trade-off. Since they opened Toontown in 1992, they've kind of learned the hard way that it's a maintenance monster. Yeah. You know, you have to go in there every year. I mean, the Southern California sun is just not kind to, you know, that sort of bright, you know, paint job. You really had to stay on top of it. That coupled with the fact that, you know, it was kind of keying off of, you know, that they built this thinking that, you know, we're going to be in the Roger Rabbit business forever. And yeah. It turns out that, you know, that they made the one film and the trio of shorts and that's it.
Wow.
So, and let's not forget that it's kind of end back there.
Yeah, it's a dead end.
Yeah, so I get that's one of the things I guess they're discussing is whether or not they could build, you know, there's often been talked of a sort of ripping out Chippendale's the ball crawl tree there.
Right.
And creating a blow through to Fantasyland so at least they can, you know, get some decent flow through because otherwise again, you just and think about, you know, putting all the Star Wars stuff back there. You know, it's going to be a very busy part of the park, but more to the point, again, from a logistics point of view, driving people that far back into the park is a great idea because they then have to walk out past every shop, every restaurant. You know, it's from an operational point of view, it's a very smart move. And remember also, we're talking about also, Disneyland Paris, which is, you know, finally going to get, you know, a its version of Star Tours, The Adventures Continues, and supposedly a cantina kind of a thing, and Tokyo. So, you know, this is worldwide. So you'll see probably a mention, you know, a detailed mention of what's going where April at Star Wars Celebration, and right behind that, you know, less than 4 months after that is the D23 Expo for 2015, and that's August 14th to the 16th, and I think at that point we'll, you know, they'll be doing full seminars about individual rides and that sort of thing.
So, you think they will or they won't?
Well, at that point, they, you know, remember, you know, that this is, you know, the event that prides itself on serving Disney's, you know, biggest fans, you right. know, the most passionate fans. So at that point, you know, face it, we're, you know, you're launching Disneyland's 60th birthday party in June.
Yeah, so
can't talk about that. And, you know, the very stuff that you and I have been talking about, you know, things like, you know, the new Lagoon show going into Epcot, you know, that'll have to have been announced because that's opening in October.
Right, right.
So they got to start talking about getting specific about Star Wars. So, yeah, I mean, again, I apologize, guys, but within 9 to 10 months, it'll all be out there. And then we just begin, you know, sort of, you know, we're back in Seven Dwarfs Mine Train country where, you know, it's 18 months of people looking over construction fences with cameras.
Is it done yet?
another dwarf. Look, a bulldozer. Woo! You know, so.
Fantastic. All right, good. Just a little update. I appreciate it, Jim. Thanks. Thanks very much. I'm sure everyone will enjoy this. And we'll be back on the 15th with our regular episode, too. So, again, happy holidays to everyone. Hope you enjoy this bonus show.
Take care, guys.